Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Redacted on this Wednesday. So glad to have you here. We got a busy show for you. We're going to be talking about this emergency bird flu summit in Washington, D.C. Why in the hell is there an emergency bird flu summit in October right before the election? Wait until you hear what's on the agenda. We'll dial that in for you.
Plus, Israel now controls 26% of Gaza. That's interesting, right? Is this why Benjamin Netanyahu continues to sabotage peace negotiations? And just ahead of the summit, where he comes to Congress and asks for more money from the United States, we're going to talk all about Israel. I just wrote there, Israel. I probably should have given you a better title there, but that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, on the rundown, we should have something that explains what the story is. But
Israel. Supreme Court is also what I wrote there, so I apologize. We're going to talk about why Democrats are freaking out about... No, that's on me. I wrote the story. I'm the reporter. I should have done that better. I'm not very good at headlines. Supreme Court, because Democrats are wanting to not only pack the court, but sabotage the court because they're upset that they may lose this November and lose their chance to turn the court into a liberal court. They're just bad losers. We're going to show you that exactly.
And the Senate yesterday held testimony from HHS whistleblowers on the child sex trafficking ring that is in the United States. The United States, of course, the largest purveyor of child trafficking in the world, the largest purveyor of child sex traffickers in the world, and you are paying for it. This was in front of Senator Chuck Grassley, Senator Ron Johnson, and others demanding answers on this. Why is the media totally silent on this? We have Tara Rodas, who's going to be joining us here a little bit later in the show to talk about this testimony and what you guys can do to take action and try to stop this child exploitation that's happening across the United States. Upwards of 400,000 kids missing under the Biden administration's watch. I think it's one of the biggest stories in the world, and no one's talking about it, but we will. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a lot of news to get to here on your Wednesday.
Yeah, and we are back in black, as someone says in the chat. We didn't mean to match, but sometimes when you've been married for a long time, you just do. Yeah. That's why people think we look like brother and sister.
Just making sure the audio is all good now. So some people maybe who joined us a little bit late said the audio is out of sync with our voices. Bad audio. Is everything okay now? Is everything okay? Does everything
voice
sound
in sync?
Okay?
They say okay.
Voice in sync.
No all more right. issues.
Philip,
says
David,
alias
are we
117?
Philip and David, are we good to go on the audio side?
As far as I can tell, I mean, I can't hear the live stream because I'm listening to you guys on the production side. But
okay, David's texting and saying it sounds good. Okay, maybe we lost David as well. Okay.
No, I'm here. I'm just
okay.
Just
good.
Texting.
Or just making sure. Just making sure.
In the Matrix.
Yeah, you never know the internet, you know, so we'll figure it out. Okay, we've got a lot of news to get to, but first I want to tell you about our friends over at Mack Weldon. This is fills up my closet. This is what I'm wearing right now, actually, my Mack Weldon polo shirts. I love these things. They are timeless. They look fantastic. And if you go into my closet, this is like all I have is Mack Weldon shirts, because first of all, they have this performance fabric, which normally when you hear the word performance fabric, it's like shiny. You know, no one wants that. It looks like satin or something.
Right.
But with Mack Weldon, no, it like looks like cotton. You can't tell the difference, but it's breathable. And you don't have to worry about it shrinking up all the time.
When your wife puts it in the dryer.
Yes. When my wife puts it in the dryer, like I've had some of those cotton polo shirts where I buy them a large size and then they look like belly shirts after my wife.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose. But anyway, Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for you guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. They are fantastic. I love all of their clothes, and that's what my closet is filled with right now. And if you guys want to take action, get 20% off your first order, go to MackWeldon.com, get 20% off your first order with the promo code REDACTED. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code REDACTED. Check out their website. They have fantastic underwear, t-shirts, pants, all of it. I'm wearing their polo shirt right now, and I love these things. So, yes, people say, do you wear the same shirts every day? Yes, I pretty much do, mm-hmm. Because I love them so much. So
it's his uniform.
Exactly. It's my uniform.
His protected uniform.
All right.
You're like,
well, stop.
I bet your closet. I was going to say, sorry, I bet your closet looks a lot like Archer's. You ever watch that show where his closet is nothing but black turtlenecks? He claims that they're not all the same.
Steve Jobs.
He's like, no, this one is slightly black. This one is much more black. This one is, they're all just black turtlenecks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a nuance.
No, they're classic, and you look like a man wearing them, like actual polo shirts, actual T-shirts. They look good. So anyway, all right, well, stop me if you heard this before. Government officials and Big Pharma are coming together to hold a big summit to warn us all about the coming pandemic. Sound familiar? Yes, it's happening all over again, and we've been covering this story for months here on this show, so this is not a surprise to us at all. Maybe it is to some of you watching for the first time. BARDA just granted $176 million to Moderna to accelerate their development of a bird flu vaccine, an emergency bird flu vaccine. Now, you'll recall Moderna never had a successful product ever come to market, ever in the history of their company. The only time one of their products ever made it to market is because they got to sidestep trials on humans, basically, and use emergency use authorization during the pandemic and get us a COVID vaccine.
And again, it's worth reporting that the current bird flu we have now is not contagious from human to human, very rarely, right? Also, we have treatments. So what they're saying is that they are developing a vaccine in case it mutates. Well, how do they know what it's going to mutate to? It's their best guess.
This sounds familiar. Playbook right out of the last thing we dealt with.
Yeah, Seems familiar, right?
What are they doing? This is not a conspiracy theory at all. I mean, they're literally doing it again, using emergency use authorization to push us a bird flu vaccine. As we reported before, the U.S. and European Union are also using emergency orders to order bird flu vaccines from the vaccine manufacturer CSL Seqirus, which is funded and advised, of course, by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to hold a massive bird flu summit in Washington, D.C. to plan how they're going to carry out this plan. We'll get to that part of the story in a second. But first, these are the same clowns that locked us up and told us to panic about COVID and preparing disease X right now in the next round of lockdowns. As Dr. Peter McCullough says, bird flu is their next pandemic, and they're trying to make us scared about it.
Well, do you think that the left could use the bird flu pandemic or something else, like the threat of something similar, to rerun the 2020 election?
There's no doubt about it. There will be a factitious food shortage. It doesn't need to happen. There's going to be an overplayed threat to both human and veterinary health. I can tell you, we haven't had a single death in the United States in a person from bird flu. It's probably been around for over 100 years, as indicated in a review by Lysette and colleagues. The current strain of bird flu is not much of a threat to animals. We don't see large number of migratory water birds dead. We haven't seen large numbers of poultry or cattle that have actually died of the disease. So we need to stop intentionally culling or killing healthy animals, which is being promoted by agriculture directors. We need to stop mass PCR testing of the animals by government officials. That doesn't need to happen. And then in no circumstances should we vaccinate the animals or humans for bird flu.
So don't fall for it, is what Dr. Peter McCullough is saying. But that's why they're holding this massive bird flu summit in Washington, D.C., set for early October. Thanks to Cambry for alerting to us on Twitter, by the way. Here's the 3-day bird flu summit. And guys, this is not some conspiracy theory, okay? We're going to show you the actual summit website and their actual sessions that they're holding. So this is their website, the International Bird Flu Summit. As I was working on the story, my son said, what is a summit? Why are they holding a bird flu summit? And I said, well,
money.
It's a great question. They're charging a lot to go to it, by the way. And you can see all the different speakers that are showing up to the bird flu summit. And then I'm going to show you the breakout sessions here. So it's a 3-day event where you can go to different events and different breakout sessions. I think they have over 20 different breakout sessions. So let's take a look here on your screen. Preparedness in birds, in cattle, prevention and recovery detection in pets and in people. And response in people. So let's go down here and scroll down on their website. You can all download this if you guys want to and take a look for yourselves. Again, not a conspiracy theory. It's on their website. Here's the first breakout session. Mass fatality management planning. So we're all going to die.
That's positive.
How do we handle that? direct fatality management tactical operations. You know, when all the bodies start piling up, I'm going to go to that breakout session. Activate fatality management operations. Conduct morgue operations.
I mean, there's
morgue
not even
operations.
The word prevention. It's like when that happens.
Yes, when it happens.
How do we manage it?
How do we go to the morgue? Continue. Here, I love this. The continuity of government planning. You know, when half the government dies, what do we do about it? Let's go to that session. Strategies for operating with 50% or more absenteeism. So when half the Senate dies, half the House of Representatives die, what do we do about it? Let's go to that session. Or session number three, business continuity planning. How do we handle making sure that businesses don't collapse and ensure safe travel policies, decision-making for reducing or closing operations? And my favorite, though, of course, is here at the bottom on your screen, implementing remote work policies and flexible schedule. So yes, remote work, of course. Remote work policies and resource allocation for employees and customer protection.
Of course, when I see safe travel, you know that means no travel. They don't want you to travel.
They don't want you to travel at all, right? They don't want you to get on an airplane or anything.
Do you remember Event 201? Remember we covered that? Like where it was a simulation? Like this is like a printout, a PDF printout of that.
Right. Yeah. Whereas, look... We've covered bird flu. We've been talking about this for weeks now. And so if actually they had good intentions about making sure that bird flu was safe, well, we know we've talked to several doctors here on the show that said, if you let this play out, then the animal population will kind of adapt to it. And as it stands now, it should not mutate to become transmissible between humans. We should leave it be. We should not, as Dr. McCullough said, be mass culling and mass testing animals in anticipation of this, because it indicates to us that that could be a gain of function manipulation, right? So at well-intentioned summit like this would be what? It would be
a well-intentioned summit?
Like, okay, we're going to watch bird flu. We're going to what? Talk about the therapeutics that we currently have, such as things we were not allowed to say, right? We're going to talk about, I don't know, management of information, those kind of things. I mean, I don't like when the government ever says management of information, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
This seems to me a summit in bad faith.
So I decided to give them a call because it turns out on their website, they have a phone number. So the Bird Flu Summit has a phone number, and I had a lot of questions, you know, I had a lot of questions for them. So I called them just a short time ago and asked them a few questions, and here's how it went.
So the Bird Flu Summit has a phone number that you can call, and you can ask questions about their agenda and what they plan to do at the Bird Flu Summit in October. So I'm going to give them a call. Call them the Bird Flu Hotline, Bird Flu Summit Hotline.
Hi, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, I was trying to reach someone who is perhaps in media relations or who could talk to me about the Bird Flu Summit.
Yeah, are you? I can help you with that.
Sure. So my name is Clayton. I'm calling from Redacted. We're on a recorded line, if that's okay. I just want to ask you a few questions about the Bird Flu Summit. It's October, right? It's coming up in October? Can you tell me, why are they holding a Bird Flu Summit when... It's been around for 100 years, bird flu. There's never been a human case of bird flu that has caused a death. Why are there all of these breakout sessions being held at this bird flu summit that are about public control, emergency services, vaccine deployment? Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Alright, so this will be our first year of doing the bird flu, and hold on.
This is your first year of dealing with the bird flu, is that what you said?
Yeah, this is our first year doing this conference.
Why are they holding this for the first time? Why do you think right now there is this need to hold the conference right now?
Okay, hold on.
Why in 2024 are you holding a bird flu summit? Why now? It's been around for 100 years. Just curious.
Yeah, I understand. So, as you all know, that Yeah, because according to our research, this global transfer allows disease to spread. So,
according to your research, I'm sorry, what? The global transmission, what?
Yeah, so there are certain viruses that are here around.
There are certain viruses that are here and around, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, but what viruses specifically are here and around? You're talking about bird flu specifically?
Clayton.
Okay. And so among your breakout sessions are sessions about controlling the population, civil unrest. Is there a concern that Americans or Europeans might become upset or unrestful if, in fact, they are told to stay in their homes? You have another session that specifically focuses on remote work, so people staying home from work. But what evidence is there that people would need to stay home from work, stay in their homes, or be locked down because of bird flu? Can you explain that? She hung up on me.
Wow.
She hung up.
I mean,
so I guess you're not allowed.
Okay.
Oh, I think that is why you don't outsource customer support.
Well, I was just going to take a stab in the dark. I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say she was not media relations. So I think she. I think
sure.
That's
no, it's and it's a Virginia phone number. I'm calling Virginia. I mean, it's Northern Virginia. This is where the summit is, and she, you know, this was the call routed to her. There's multiple options when you call that phone number. You can talk to multiple people there.
So wait, let me just get this straight. What she said: there are viruses
that are out there, and that there's a concern around bird flu now.
Around,
they are.
They're here.
Well,
and so we need to have breakout sessions.
She was like the press secretary. She's like going through that.
Oh,
book.
She's like,
oh my gosh. Wait.
Crap.
Right.
I can help you. Let me look through my book here real quick.
You should have just said, wait, I'm about to give you my credit card. I'm going to register, but first, and then maybe she would have found some right. information.
I'm going to sign up for a breakout session. I'd like to be a speaker. By the way, you can sign up and be a speaker there if you'd like, and you can pay a lot of money to be a speaker, I guess.
Hey,
it's like $625 to attend.
Can we get a table? Do they have vendors? Have a redacted
they
table
do. You can be a vendor. We should have a redacted table at the bird flu summit.
Yeah. Come over here. And this is called Real Journalist Questions About Bird Flu. And I'm just going to have a bullet point and no one's going to stop at our booth, but I'll have peanut butter cups.
I wasn't being a dick. Oh. I was just asking the questions that are on your website. Like, why are you having this summit now, 100 years later, after this thing has been around? Why, when all of these medical professionals are telling us that there's no concern at all, there's nothing to worry about, not even among birds. We have to cull and kill all of these cattle. We have to kill all of these birds. We have to lock people down. You're having breakout sessions about literally mass fatalities and deaths.
So the chat is saying, let's all call back. Let's all call too. If you do, I want to know about it.
To be fair, I mean, that's probably the same way a politician would answer it. Well, you know, there's flus around and viruses out
there
and about.
There are viruses.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's stuff that's out there and about. I don't know.
They exist.
So Dr. Kelly Victory was recently on Redacted. She told us the same thing. We already have had ways to treat this, and there's no cause for concern.
The good news is, and the reason that people should not be fearful of this, is that we have every reason to believe that we have safe, readily available, effective medications to treat bird flu. We have every indication, for example, that it will be easily treated by hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, just like COVID was easily treatable with hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and steroids. The problem was the powers that be prohibited us from even talking about those things, let alone having ready access to them. If doctors were not impeded from treating patients who had COVID with those medications, the death toll and the suffering would have been far less. So hopefully, if bird flu should become something to be concerned about, if it should begin to be transmitted between human beings and between people who are not in direct contact with infected animals, then hopefully we will be allowed to use the medications that we should be able to use, like hydroxychloroquine. If instead they shut those things down in order to foist their mRNA vaccine, quote unquote, agenda on us, then it's going to be up to people to push back and say, no, we fell for that the last time and we're not falling for it again.
Yes.
Oh, mRNA vaccine, you say? Is that why the United States is trying to fund the Moderna mRNA bird flu shot?
Shocking.
That was reported on May 30th in Forbes, if you want to see it for yourself.
Yeah.
So yes, mRNA is the solution to everything. It's the new tofu, I guess.
Well, we
goes in everything.
Tomorrow we'll have Max Jones on the show. We're going to talk to him. He's just written a new piece, in Unlimited Hangout. I don't know how you say that. The website is Unlimited Hangout. So he wrote an article in Unlimited Hangout about biopharmaceutical complex and the move to basically keep us permanently in a state of pandemic preparedness. And that's how these big biopharmaceutical companies right now, this is part of their plan because their profits are plummeting. Now that we're not in a quote unquote pandemic. So how do you raise their profits? Well, you just create more pandemics. And you do emergency use authorization.
Stephen Colbert to do a song about it. Like that's going to be, we're going to get more of that.
Yeah.
All these late night hosts doing songs about the bird flu jab.
Yeah.
So we'll have that tomorrow on the show.
I'll armpit fart it.
We'll do that tomorrow on the show. All right. We've got more news to get to.
That's how I feel about this. About every pandemic from now on, my song will be an armpit fart serenade. Yeah. Okay. Yes, we have more news to get to. I'm not going to do that right now. I'll save it for another time.
Please.
We're going to talk about Israel, why they are sabotaging peace negotiations. Why? Why do you think that is? Usually the simplest answer is the right answer, but we're going to show you that data. We're also going to talk about why Democrats are freaking out about not being able to pack the court. So they're trying to do that, adjust that, which is pack the court. Also, we're going to talk about this child trafficking story coming up, right?
We are. The big Senate hearing yesterday and the mainstream media decided not to cover it at all, which is shocking. Once again, they've held now 20 of these hearings and there's been silence, radio silence from the Biden administration. So we're going to talk to an HHS whistleblower who was in the room talking to those senators coming up here in just a moment. But first,
we want to tell you about our new sponsor, Pure Health Research. This is a great company. They specialize in creating natural supplements to help people just like you in your daily lives. And they've already helped more than 2 million Americans with their best-selling product, which is Liver Health Formula. Why is that so popular? Well, of course, the American Liver Foundation reports that 100 million Americans suffer from an overworked and sluggish liver, which is no surprise because we are bombarded with toxins, GMOs, microplastics, fluoride, all the stuff that you might not even know about. Your liver is working really hard to filter that out and keep you functioning, but you can help it out. So again, your liver helps you with over 500 key functions daily, so you can help your liver out. That's why you should look into the Liver Health Formula by going to liverhelp.com/redacted. You'll get a free 1 month supply of nano powered omega-3s. Plus, again, take a look at this supplement, see if it can work for you. Once again, that's getliverhelp.com/redacted. Well, is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sabotaging peace negotiations? Sure seems that way, doesn't it? Kinda does. According to new reports, Netanyahu wants to make sure that Israel is still at war when he addresses U.S. Congress in a few weeks. Now, that's funny timing, right? I can't go to Congress if we're at peace because I won't have much to say. So I need to still be at war. So the people who die between now and then, that's not on me, because I got a speech to make to the American Congress. That seems pretty selfish. Now, it seems that he wants the Zelensky treatment, go to Congress, be lauded as a hero. I mean, why shouldn't he get that? I don't see much difference between Netanyahu and Zelensky at this moment. We're going to make that comparison in a minute. Last month, though, AOC Democratic superstar Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said she does not support Netanyahu's congressional address. Here was her tweet. She said, "This man should not be addressing Congress. He's a war criminal, and he certainly has no regard for U.S. law, which is explicitly designed to prevent U.S. weapons from facilitating human rights abuse." Girl, that's a lol. I can't believe you would even write that with a straight face, because how many U.S. weapons are currently hurting people in? Clayton, do you want to go down the list?
Sure.
Syria, Yemen, but you go ahead.
Syria, Yemen, Ukraine, Sudan,
Iraq.
Somalia.
What else am I thinking?
Somalia, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Haiti.
But you're going to just write that? You're just going to write that down as if you don't know right now what U.S. weapons are doing. Dummy. She says his invitation should be revoked, should never have been sent in the first place. Here is Elizabeth Warren saying she too will boycott Netanyahu's speech. It's funny though that neither of them had any trouble with Zelensky addressing Congress, because he too is a war criminal. That's all nuance to me, isn't it? Both men are actively sabotaging peace that would save lives in their country, respectively, in order to further their own career. Do you see a difference? Do you?
No, I don't.
I do not. So Netanyahu will obviously further the case for his war on Gaza and make sure that American money will not stop. Even in the wake of this news, the Gaza pier, which was destroyed after just 21 days. This here on the left is what we built. It cost us $230 million. On the right is the way it stands right now, and currently there are no plans to rebuild it. Now, shouldn't it upset us that our money is being wasted in this way, draining our own economy? It upsets me.
Calvin Johnstone in our chat says, redacted, is Maui all cleaned up now? Exactly. So $270 million to build some pier in Gaza so we can go and help facilitate the stealing of oil and natural gas,
right?
Or money that could have been sent to Maui to help build and rebuild that community.
Or the chemical spill in Pennsylvania. Yes, the Pennsylvania
in Ohio.
Chemical spill.
Yeah.
Right. Lots of ways we could have used that money, but we did that instead. Now, in May, Congressman Matt Gaetz tried to warn us about this pier, not just about the cost, but the dangers to U.S. soldiers. Nobody cared, but we did. We played this for you, and we're going to play it again.
Ms. Lotkin just said there'll be about 1,000 U.S. service members operating a pier system off of Gaza. How many of them will have guns, Mr. Secretary?
Well, typically all of the deployed service members carry guns, and they have the ability to protect themselves if challenged.
So if someone from land in Gaza shoots at our service members who are on the $320 million pier that we're building, you're telling me our service members can shoot back?
They have the right to return fire to protect themselves. Now,
well,
now
do we
again,
think that's so now I want to move to the likelihood that you think someone from land in Gaza might shoot at our service members on this pier. Do you think that that's a likely scenario?
That's possible, yes.
This is a very telling moment, Mr. Secretary, because you've said something that's quite possible that could happen, right? Shots from Gaza on our service members, and then the response, our armed service members shooting live fire into Gaza. That is a possible outcome here so that we can become the Port Authority and run this pier, right?
That's correct. You know, I expect that we will always
don't
have the ability to protect ourselves.
Don't you think that counts as boots on the ground? President Biden told the country that we weren't going to have boots on the ground in Gaza.
And we won't.
Okay, but you guys parse the distinction between, like, when Americans think boots on the ground, they think Americans in harm's way or engaged actively in a conflict. You guys seem to be sort of saying that boots on a pier connected to the ground, connected to service members shooting into Gaza, doesn't count as boots on the ground?
It does not.
I think you're going to find that the American people have a different perspective on that. And if we're going to have people shooting into Gaza, we probably should have a vote on that pursuant to our war powers.
Boots floating, yeah, off the ground.
WSB, yeah, 4 in our Rumble chat says, yeah, boots on a pier. Yeah, boots on a pier.
It's ground adjacent.
Some of those guys were even wearing sandals. I mean, come on, that doesn't count at all.
Right.
Crocs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wearing Crocs.
Now, the safety of those soldiers on that pier is no longer a concern, given the pier was destroyed and there are not plans to rebuild it. So that is a sunk cost, if you know what I mean. You get it?
Yeah, that's great.
A sunk cost. That's an econ joke. I like it. It made me laugh when I, yeah, thanks. Okay, but the war will continue. It's not funny. And now Haaretz is reporting that Israel controls at least 26% of Gaza now, which clearly was always their intention going into this war. It's not defense. So here is what they're saying is a springboard to a Jewish settlement, they say. When they say settlement, obviously they mean they're moving Jewish people in. They do not intend to ever give that land back to Palestinians, which have controlled it as recently as October of 2023. Here is what Haaretz report says. A senior IDF officer discussing this territory under full IDF control in the heart of Gaza called it an effort at prolonged occupation. But the military's activity also provides a tailwind for supporters of the reestablishment of settlements. Now, recall, they got the heck out of there in 2005. Begrudgingly, now they're getting back in. Conditions for the emergence of a new reality are being created, an indefinite Israeli presence in Gaza. So reoccupation of Palestinian lands. Is there any other way to see it? Please let me know if I'm missing some kind of optics here. In peace negotiations, Hamas is demanding that Israel leave Gaza, but it is clear that Netanyahu has no intention of doing that or ending military presence in Gaza, and he never did. He said that since he was in his 30s. You can rewind the tape and see him saying this over and over and over again. This is his dream. His grand vision. He will not relinquish this on his watch. There's no denying that. And now the government of Israel will draft Orthodox Jews into the cause, even though Orthodox Judaism is staunchly anti-war. It's basically their reason for existing is peace. The Torah, as they interpret it, forbids war. It forbids killing. It forbids even having an army. I want to suggest to you this video that our colleague Dan Cohen did over on his Uncaptured Media with Rabbi Shapiro, because Clayton and I watched this over the break, and it is a fascinating viewpoint, actually a studied and erudite take on what Judaism is and how it is not at all represented by the government of Israel. And so now Rabbi Shapiro has agreed to come on Redacted in the coming days, and I'm excited about it. So now what we see is Israel calling themselves a Jewish state, but totally disregarding what Orthodox Jews believe, which is no war, no fighting, no peace. How then can we say that this is religious freedom? How can we say that this is representative of a Jewish state? I ask you, what have I missed here? So let me know what you think of this.
Yeah, it's not a, how can it be a Jewish state? How can it be? The very thing that they are absolutely against is war.
Right.
Violence of any kind, and now you're going to draft them? You're going to make it mandatory?
I think it's worth making this distinction that Hamas rages war on religion as well, and Islam also preaches peace.
Right.
So both sides are waging a religious war under false pretenses.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, I'm looking forward to having Rabbi Shapiro on the show.
Very much so.
Oh, we got a lot more news to get to here. We're going to have an HHS whistleblower. You do not want to miss this segment. I am telling you this. I am very excited to talk to Tara Rodas, who was in the room where it happened yesterday. And I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned that the media hasn't covered this at all. And frankly, independent media, which a lot of these independent media stations these days are really just extensions of corporate media. And they're not covering the story. They're not covering the child sex abuse story, the child trafficking story in the United States. And I want to know why. Why are they ignoring, to me, one of the biggest stories in the world right now? But they won't talk about it. And if you do talk about it, you get in trouble by your corporate overlords. So we'll talk about that. She's going to be joining us here in a few moments. We're also going to be talking about Democrats' plan for the Supreme Court. Because, you know, they only have a few months left, and Biden is likely going to be thrown out, will be losing. Kamala Harris will likely be stepping in. They are likely going to lose this election in November to President Trump, and they are trying to stack the Supreme Court deck as quickly as they can. We're going to talk about that. But first,
we want to tell you about the Wellness Company, because this is a great way for you to make sure that you are prepared for any upcoming disaster, pandemic, or government-planned pandemic, whatever it is. If you would not be able to get the medication that you need, this is a good time to think about it in advance. Because the worry, of course, is that you know, you wouldn't be able to get exactly what you need in the time of a disaster. Well, that's why the wellness company will help you be prepared and start stockpiling exactly what you need. It's, of course, our own responsibility to be prepared for our family. But unfortunately, you can get medications like Tamiflu easily without having to book an appointment. But what about those things that you couldn't? Well, that's why the wellness company developed a contagion emergency kit. It's the only prescription stockpile of life-saving medications, including Tamiflu, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, which we just talked about, is currently a known treatment for bird flu. We know that now. How much longer before we're not going to be allowed to know that and then get that? You can also get a Z-Pak. So these are medications that everyone should have in the medicine cabinet. So try it out. If you use our code, you will get 10% off at checkout. Check out what they've got for you and your family by going to twc.health/redacted. One more time, you get 10% off by going to twc.health/redacted.
Let us know where you're all joining us from today. Crack Tower, I like Crack Tower, says Redacted is a great channel. Thank you, guys. Rumble, by the way, we stream live on both YouTube and Rumble. Rumble is, of course, a free speech platform. So they don't, I don't think, David, do they censor comments over there? Do they censor, block people and all that kind of stuff?
We tend to sometimes ourselves if they're agreed, like, but no, I don't think Rumble does. But like we have certain rules, but they're not, they're just... They would if you walk into somebody's house and say some of the things some people say over there on that channel, you would probably get punched.
It's not content related. So if you have a difference in opinion, we let you say that. But if you make like comments about our anatomy that are a little bit,
I'm defensive of my wife who sits here. And if there's any kind of creeps who want to be a creep, then you're out. I don't tolerate that shit. You get out of here. You're not.
That
no
is
way.
Our
you're
only rule right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely. But as far as like YouTube, though, does ban comments, block comments, and they auto delete comments. Like that's what YouTube does. So it's funny. People will be like, I've typed this same thing now 7 times and I changed one word and then YouTube allowed it to pop up. It's like, yeah, we don't do that. So I don't think Rumble does that. But anyway, differences in a platform. So.
Well, I'm the only girl working on this show, so the boys get a little protective of me, and I appreciate that. So,
I think if somebody really needs to make an anatomical comment, they can target it at me. You can say whatever you want about my body. Fine.
With that. Oh,
exactly, because no one can see you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Jessica Rabbit. Well, here we go. Okay. Alexandria, let me say it again. I can never get her name out.
Call her AOC. She's a dipshit.
Yeah.
Call her dipshit AOC.
I want to make this easy for us to... Okay, I don't want to mess up the first part of the segment when I stumble over her dumb name, which is it's a pseudonym, isn't it? Her name is not... It's like Sandra or something like that. Sandra. Okay, let's not get lost in the weeds. Let's get to the story. Here's the story. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC... has filed articles of impeachment for 2 Supreme Court justices, which makes it clear to me, and hopefully you too, that Democrats are just desperate to get Supreme Court nominations because they know they are going to lose in the upcoming presidential election. And this is their last shot while President Biden is still in office. So Democrats had hoped to turn the balance of the Supreme Court to a liberal bent because it is currently more justices appointed by conservative presidents, which makes them think that there is a conservative bent and it's unfair to them. To Democrats, to their agenda. So they feel like the clock is ticking and they won't get that chance if the polls are to be believed. So they're pissed at the recent decisions that the court has made and they will do anything to make sure that they can put in a liberal court. That seemed clear to me just a few days ago when Elizabeth Warren tweeted this. Congress has already used its constitutional authority to expand the Supreme Court 6 times in the past. Court expansion isn't new. It isn't radical. It's what we must do to rein in a court that Republicans packed and that clearly doesn't feel limited by the rule of law. So what she's saying is 9's not enough. Let's get ourselves in there, some liberal judges, however many we need to tip the balance to a way we like it. That is what you call a spoiled sport. I would say. She wants new liberal judges appointed ASAP, and clearly that's what AOC wants too, and that's why she filed these articles of impeachment. She says it is against Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. Thomas has received luxury vacations from billionaire GOP donor Harlan Crow for decades. Alito has taken gifts from billionaire and GOP mega donor Paul Singer. Now, I'm not saying those things didn't happen, and clearly the court is struggling with its own codes of conduct, but it's kind of funny that she had problems with all of this money, but none with what the Bidens have clearly accepted. We know this now from the Hunter Biden laptop and many other sources. The Bidens have accepted money from China, from Ukraine, from other sources. That's not a problem. No articles of impeachment there from her. What about Justice Sotomayor, who was accused of using her position to sell her books? Maybe this is different and maybe it's not, but the Associated Press reported that she made $3.7 million by pushing her books through her staff, which taxpayers pay for. Is that different? If you're a legal scholar, tell me, are those the same things or not? Or is it just not different because AOC has a political bent and she doesn't want to remove Sotomayor because she was appointed by Obama? Even MSNBC admits that Democrats are doing this just because they don't like the outcome of the court's rulings lately, such as the presidential immunity ruling, such as the January 6th claims. Watch.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York City, and she's filed two articles of impeachment against Justice Samuel Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas. And these articles of impeachment are not based in any of the decisions that either of these two justices have made, but instead specifically about their conduct around the office. For instance, in both Thomas and Alito's case, she is accusing them of not properly disclosing financial benefits and gifts that they were given by donors and others, and in some cases, people that had business before the court or even had a vested interest, a political interest in some of the issues before the court. And she's also doing that in the case of Clarence Thomas, saying that he refused to recuse himself from certain cases that his spouse had a vested interest in as well. His wife, Ginny Thomas, of course, was very much involved in the Stop the Steal effort, the efforts to overturn the 2020 election and things along those lines. Also, she is accusing Justice Alito as well of refusing to recuse himself from certain cases of which he may have a conflict of interest. So these are very specific accusations that Ocasio-Cortez is leveling against these two Supreme Court justices. It comes at a time where Democrats are getting increasingly frustrated about the direction of the court. Obviously, the decisions that this court has rendered over the past couple of months, but also the conduct of these Supreme Court justices and the lack of oversight that they apparently seem to have without any kind of specific code of ethics that they must follow.
So again, I ask you, we have proof of all politicians doing this and judges. The judge in the Trump case, in the Trump documents, Stormy Daniels case, comes to mind. She doesn't seem to have a problem with that, right? And someone in the chat rightly points out, what is she doing for her constituents? Obviously, she's doing this for herself, right? It's a political stunt, but she wants different outcomes from the Supreme Court. Clearly, here are her articles of impeachment that she posted, strangely on this Saved by the Bell color stationery. Like, you would think that she's a Democrat, she'd use American colors. Does anyone else think it's weird, this stationery that she's putting? No? Am I reading too much into this?
I'm surprised it's not more rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little trans, got a little trans colors.
I'm just looking at this and I'm like, you're a congressional representative. Don't you use red, white, and blue to some iteration?
Or
like,
wouldn't
what's
you use,
with the purple, girl?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you use like professional House of Representatives stationery?
Yes, this is what I'm thinking. There's just like, I'm very perplexed by this and probably I'm reading too much into it, but let me know what you think. So I highlighted here what I think is worth reading. Actually, none of it's worth reading, but we're reading it because it's a political stunt. She's calling the Supreme Court right now a crisis threatening American democracy writ large, a threat to the American rule of law and the integrity of our democracy, and one of the clearest cases for which the tool of impeachment was designed, she said. Again, she's selective in where she decides to see this and where she doesn't. She said that Alito has repeatedly failed to disclose that he's received, both of them have received millions of dollars in gifts from individuals with businesses that the court that she believes is against the law. And here is her list of grievances for what they refuse to disclose, what they refuse to recuse themselves of. Again, I'm not saying that this is or isn't true, but it's very selective who she's targeting, because if she removes these two justices before Biden loses office, then she gets those two appointments for the Democratic Party. Right? She wants that. They want that clearly. That's what Liz Warren already signaled. So she may pass this in the Senate, maybe, because that's still democratically controlled, but it won't pass the House, which Republicans control. So she doesn't have much chance of success with this. So clearly it's a political stunt, as this meme, which was posted in her feed about this, is I'm going to impeach the Supreme Court. And you see these bartenders say what? Like, they're literally laughing at her. It's funny because it's a long shot, but she does succeed at setting a dangerous precedence, to my mind, which is that if you don't like the outcome of the court, you dismantle the court. We've seen this played out now with special counsels, right? With prosecution of political opponents. Now, it would be interesting to see if she continues this, though. Like, we'll play this out. Let's say she's reelected, but Biden is not. Will she drop these articles of impeachment then, because she doesn't want Trump to get a nomination? Clearly not. So we'll see.
Well,
it's a game,
just kind of funny,
and a stupid one.
Because, like, if when RGB was still in there, when the Supreme Court made a decision and the Republicans didn't like it, the Democrats were like, "You, the Supreme Court is the rule of the land. Like, they're the supreme rule of the land. So yes, you got to follow it." Now, all of a sudden, they're like, "Oh, wait, no, we shouldn't have been saying that."
Right. And, you know, both parties do this, right? They don't like the outcome, so they try to pull the rug out from under. And it's a dirty trick, and we should just stop it. But this is upping the ante. This is doing that more. And she's doing it clearly not for her constituents, because who in her her constituents wants this? It's sort of her Instagram followers want this. So let us know what you think of this.
A lot of people think she's going to be the next Nancy Pelosi. Like, she's positioning herself to be the next Nancy Pelosi, who in the past 24 hours has made quite a few waves, basically saying she doesn't think that Biden will remain in power, that he should, that time has come, that clock is ticking. So Nancy Pelosi kind of putting the screws right now on President Biden.
Right. She said, if he decides, like, where did you... He said he's doing it. He has said many times
she's basically saying he should re-examine his position right now. Like, I know he thinks he's staying in. No. I think he should the time is now. The time is up, basically, she's saying. Nancy Pelosi is saying.
Yeah, twisting the knife.
Well, and I was going to point out really quick on AOC that, like, she is a lot like Nancy Pelosi in the way that she makes $175,000 a year salary but has managed to become a millionaire so far in her position. So,
well, maybe she's following Nancy Pelosi's stock picks.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
There's like the Nancy Pelosi stock tracker and all.
Well,
that.
I mean, I chose not to bring this up, but AOC has accepted invitations to the Met Gala, which is worth a lot of money. She's accepted gowns to wear at the Met Gala. So I don't know if she disclosed those things. So again, can she really cast the first stone? She's going to. So should we look at her? I'm not in favor of ever looking into somebody as retribution, but I am in favor of equal justice under the law. So if she thinks that this is something, let's look at what she's received then.
Yeah. We've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to be talking with an HHS whistleblower. We're excited to have Tara Rodas, who was sitting in the chamber yesterday in front of the senators at this human child sex trafficking hearing in front of Chuck Grassley and Senator Ron Johnson. We're going to talk to her in just moments. But first, you know, the science is in on meditation and prayer. Actually reduces crime, brings families closer together, reduces stress. And now we're proud to tell you about our friends over at Hallow, like Hallow be thy name, for sponsoring today's show. Hallow.com/redacted is the number one app for Christian prayer and meditations. They have over 10,000 audio guided prayers, meditations, and music from Christian voices like Mark Wahlberg, who will walk you through different meditations. Jim Caviezel, of course, who starred recently, of course, in Sound of Freedom and A Passion of the Christ. I've interviewed Jim. He's an amazing human being. I've had the chance to sit next to him when I was anchoring Fox and Friends back in the day. Just a lovely human being. And using the app is a great way to spend just a few minutes a day, just to calm yourself down, connect with source, meditate on scripture, talking to God, what he wants for your life. All of that can be found inside the app right now at Hallo. So here's what you can do. Get to 3 months free by going to hallo.com/redacted, hallo.com/redacted to get 3 months free. Give it a try for this summer. You know, as you're listening to different audiobooks or different podcasts, take a few minutes out just to calm down, connect, and be a little bit more peaceful. You know, maybe we wouldn't have so much crime in this country. Like if everyone in Chicago downloaded this app right now and just spent a few minutes, it would be actually remarkable what we could see. Transformative, actually. Again, hallo.com/redacted. Well, our next guest is a hero, and you should all know her name, and you should share this story with everyone you know, everyone who cares about children, which should be all of us, but surprisingly, not everyone is on board with this. The Biden administration is not on board with talking about saving our children. Corporate media is not on board with talking about saving our children. And in fact, independent media is not on board with saving our children. Anytime we do a story that highlights the sex trafficking of children across the United States, we get blocked, we get banned, we get demonetized, and I can't put my finger on exactly why that is. Well, yesterday, the Senate held a committee meeting and had testimony from HHS whistleblowers and other whistleblowers who are blowing the lid off of the child sex trafficking operation in the United States with your U.S. tax dollars. You are paying for this. Why is there not more outrage about this? I don't know. Joining me now, though, is one of those heroes. And I want you to just take a look at her testimony from yesterday. This is Tara Rodas. She's an HHS whistleblower when called upon by Senator Chuck Grassley. Watch.
Senator Grassley and honorable senators, thank you for your tireless efforts to protect migrant unaccompanied children from abuse, neglect, labor trafficking, sex trafficking, and other unspeakable horrors.
And Tara joins us now. Thank you for being so brave, and thank you for the amazing work that you are doing. And I cannot believe the silence. It's absolutely deafening. And when I look at my three children, I mean, it really makes me sick to my stomach that more people aren't focused on this story. So welcome to the show, and thank you for everything that you're doing.
Well, Clayton, thank you so much for shining a light on what we now know is government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking. It's absolutely shameful. And I really appreciate that you have been one of the consistent voices speaking the truth on this issue. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your bravery on this story. And I was stunned because you gave this testimony yesterday. And it's remarkable that when these Senate committee hearings like this, or whether it was COVID from Senator Ron Johnson, these things get banned and blocked. And they're only able to like live stream them to the senator's own Facebook pages. Like, it's remarkable to me that there's not more coverage of this. Can I just ask you, why do you think that is? Why is there such deafening silence from corporate media? Why wasn't CNN there? Why wasn't Fox News there? Why weren't more people there covering this story on a national level?
Yeah, well, Clayton, what I can't really speculate on why all these other media organizations weren't there. They should be questioned as to why they were not there, right? There's probably a myriad of reasons, but nobody wants to stand up to speak the truth about this unspeakable horror. Nobody wants, it seems, media outlets keep telling us, oh, it's just too dark to talk about. But how are we going to solve this problem if nobody's willing to talk about the truth of what's happening to these children? They are abused, neglected, and trafficked, and we need people to stand up for them. And that's what me and many of the other whistleblowers who you've had on your show are doing. And that's what we will do until these children are rescued.
Can you give us a little picture here of your story, and then I want to get into the details of just how bad it is, and you can walk us through what is unfolding right now across the United States. But when was the moment that you decided to come forward and blow the whistle? I mean, you spent nearly 20 years in public service, and what was the moment that you noticed something was off and you decided to come forward?
Yeah, well, Deb White, who you've had on your show before, when the federal government said, we have a crisis at the southern border, which they knew in 2021, they actually put out an all call to all federal employees and said, we need you to leave your job and come help us with the crisis, which Deb and I did. And we were deployed together to the Pomona Fairplex in California. And it only took us 2 weeks in case management, looking into the faces of these children, seeing them scared, seeing them have panic attacks, children having to be put on suicide watch, children screaming for their parents, that we knew something was wrong. I mean, we thought this was a family reunification program. When I said, here I am, send me, I thought I was going to be doing puzzles and playing games with children and then sending them to loving homes. We had no idea that we were about to discover this very organized, cartel-like trafficking scheme. And it was just a horrible thing. And we, in the very beginning of June of 2021, when we began seeing this, we began reporting. And there were people on the site saying, oh my goodness, you shouldn't say anything. They might send you home. I'm like, I don't care if they send me home. These are children. I am going to speak the truth. Deb was speaking the truth. Aaron Stevenson, who you've had on, Carlos Arellano, who you've had on. We've all been trying to tell the truth to save the kids. Yeah. But when we, once you look into the face of a frightened child, some of whom can't even speak Spanish. So my Spanish skills, my husband's from El Salvador, so I speak Spanish. And that was one of the reasons why I mobilized for the mission, was I knew they needed Spanish speakers. But I'm looking into the faces of children who can't even speak Spanish. They speak Mayan dialects. They're indigenous children that they are preying upon from the hills of Guatemala. It's evil. I've never been that close to evil, Clayton. It's evil.
And I think that maybe speaks to why the mainstream media ignores the story. They'd rather just talk about Trump. They'd rather just talk about Biden. They don't want to talk about this evil. People compartmentalize this. We need to shine a light on this because it's so dark. Can you talk about where are these kids coming from? They're having panic attacks without their parents. So are they being, are coyotes bringing them across the border and they're being dropped at these facilities? How exactly are they arriving in these facilities in the first place before the United States government then traffics them around the other parts of the United States?
Yeah, well, it's a very well-organized criminal operation. So I can give you an example of one of our cases out of Texas. There was a Guatemalan living in Texas, and he had children who he was luring from Guatemala, telling them, look, you're making $2.50 a day now, but if you come to the United States, I'm going to pay you $6 an hour. So some of the children are lured, like they believed they were going to be Bill Gates rich, right? Instead of making $2.50 a day, they're more than doubling and tripling their wages. They're like $6 an hour. Wow. So they're lured. Some of them are stolen from their families. Sometimes their families are being sold a bill of goods that, hey, if you send your child to the United States, they're going to be able to send money back to you. And we'll give you money now if you let us take your child. And so sometimes the parents, because again, they live in the hills, many of the children had not been to school, couldn't read or write. And so their families, I can only assume, are the same. They're preying on a very, very vulnerable population to begin with. And then they're bringing them here. Again, it's evil. So the children arrive at our border already knowing who their sponsor is going to be when they get here. If you've seen the news, some people right on the border will show pictures of the children holding up a little piece of paper with the name and a number. So when they present to Border Patrol, our fine Border Patrol take that information as their U.S. point of contact. So that's our Border Patrol. Then they hand them over to HHS, which is where Deb and I were working, and that becomes their sponsor. And that's the number that in 10 to 14 days, come on guys, 10 to 14 days was the goal, was to call that person and say, hey, are you expecting a kid? Hey, let's trade some information over WhatsApp. What's your address? And then we put them on transportation with Carlos, and they're delivered to baggage claim in an airport. So That's how it works. And it's absolutely astounding, astounding that the U.S. government last year spent $6.3 billion to traffic these children. And this year we're on track to spend $7.3 billion to put children in labor slavery, sex slavery, and other unspeakable horrors.
And you've testified to this. The United States government knows about this. They know that these children are being sex trafficked. They know that they're being ferreted around the country in, on flights, on public transport, on other forms of transportation, being delivered using taxpayer dollars. And then these children essentially disappear. We now, the numbers I've seen, close to 400,000 children, just we have no accounting of them. We don't know where they are. And these children just disappear. So those families back in these indigenous cultures, do they ever hear from their children again?
What's very sad is that the AG of Guatemala, so the Attorney General of Guatemala, has launched an investigation to determine where are the missing children. So no, they don't know where they are. And they're in the middle of a big investigation to try to determine where they are. And sadly, many of them may not even be alive.
What has the Biden administration's response been to your testimony, to you coming forward at the HHS? What have they, what has Alejandro Mayorkas or any of the other cabinet secretaries or the Biden administration said about your blowing the whistle on this?
So since walking me off of my job in September of 21, so when I raised the case of a 13-year-old child going to an MS-13 affiliated gang person, that's when they said, okay, we've had enough of Tara Rodas. We have to get rid of her. So they walk me off the site using security in the middle of the day, make me clean out my desk in front of my peers, walk me off the site. It was terrible. Since then, they've had nothing to say to me directly. But when they go to Capitol Hill to testify, for example, Secretary Becerra has said, there are no missing children from our custody. That is called smoke and mirrors, friends, from our custody. So what that means is while HHS has them inside one of their guarded facilities, they're there. But what he's not saying, which is the truth, is once they leave HHS custody, right, and we turn these precious little lives over to these sponsors who are criminals and traffickers and members of transnational criminal organizations like MS-13, 18th Street Gang, cartels, we're handing the kids over. He has no idea where they are once they're out of his custody. So it's a little bit disingenuous to say, oh, there are no missing children in our custody. I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah, it's brilliant playing with language like that. And they know about it. You've, of course, testified. What is the Senate committee that you've testified in front of Senator Chuck Grassley and others? What have they made any promises to you? What is their goal now with your testimony and others coming forward? What are they hoping to accomplish?
So the first thing they want to do is shine a light on government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking. They want people to see clearly this is what we're really looking at. Secondly, they've introduced a resolution using the CRA or the Congressional Review Act to stop this out of control administration who did actually on July 1st put in a whole bunch of rules to make the trafficking of the children easier, if you can imagine. So their goal is to raise awareness and generate phone calls for average Americans to call. And there's a website at America's Future. It's called Stop the Shame, because it's shameful what we're doing with these children. This is not the United States of America. This is not how we treat children. This is definitely not. Nobody would accept this treatment for American children. Yet why is there silence when these are migrant children? Indigenous children who can't even speak Spanish. They speak Mayan dialects like Quiche, Quechi, or Mam. These children are completely vulnerable and helpless. It's terrible. So their goal is to highlight the problem and then generate the calls to pass this resolution to get HHS back in check so that they can create new policies around their program. Because for 10 years, HHS has trafficked through the program. For 10 years, there's documented evidence, whistleblowers coming forward, and nothing's been done. So they hope this time, by having people, America's Future is leading the charge. It's called Vote Yay on the CRA. People just click the website, then they click on the map for their state. It's going to show the phone numbers for their senators. We want them to call their two senators and then click on the link, put in their zip code. It's going to show them their representative and call their representative. Three phone calls. That's all we're asking. Three phone calls to save the children.
Every one of our audience watching right now can make three phone calls. Just, we'll have a link in the description. Go to the website, call your senators, make those three phone calls. And this is, I think, one of the most important stories in America, and no one is talking about it, and it needs more attention. And, you know, what are the senators saying about, you know, HHS Secretary Javier Becerra? Like, we had impeachment proceedings against Alejandro Mayorkas. Is there a movement now to try to get him thrown out as well?
Well, they've attempted that, but as Senator Ron Johnson mentioned in the hearing yesterday, he was incensed. He got a little hot under the collar, which I can appreciate because this is a very upsetting subject. And he said, we have had more than 30 hearings on this issue to no avail. He's written letters. He wrote letters when I first came out in 2022. He had written letters to both Mayorkas and Becerra. And nobody had anything to say. So he was incensed. A lot of the senators are very upset that the agencies have usurped all oversight. Like, there's no oversight. They're just doing what they want to do. And that's not how our government was designed.
Yeah, when President Trump said that most of these children, he said it offhandedly just a few weeks ago, he believes many of these children are dead.
Yeah,
I think
that was,
there was like... It was a shocking moment, and no real follow-up on that. You know, the mainstream media is like, oh, Trump's just being crazy again.
No, I've talked to agents from Homeland Security Investigations, and they've said, Tara, you know, it's great that you and all the whistleblower team are getting the word out. Please keep doing that. But you need to understand, I just, for your own mental health, I need you to know that your fight is saving children, but some are no longer alive. And you have to come to grips with that. And that was a sobering moment about a year into the fight when a Homeland Security Investigations agent told me that. He said, all these children are not alive. But again, when I heard Trump say it, it was, again, it's a blow because this doesn't have to be this way. We can easily make this change. So Clayton, I appeal to your audience. Your audience is fabulous. They helped us, you know, do some other campaigns in the past. And we really need, this is so important. It's just three phone calls. Your voice, the voice of your audience makes a difference. It really does. And right now we need to get more people onto the CRA. So Vote Yay on the CRA is going to be really important. Just three phone calls to save the lives of children.
And again, we'll have that linked up in the description. Please, everyone watching right now, just take a few minutes and do this. What could be more important right now? I mean, what could be more important than this? Tara, thank you so much for your amazing work on this. And anything that we can do here at Redacted to help, please reach out to us. You know, we will be right there to assist in this. So, Tara, thank you so much. Thank you for your testimony yesterday and continued great work. Thank you.
Thank you, Clayton.
Thanks so much, Tara. We really appreciate it. Look, guys, I know this is a hard story. This is a hard pill to swallow, and so many people kind of tune out of it, you know, and it's just, I don't know, they just want to compartmentalize it and just kind of focus on Trump and focus on Biden and focus on these other stories. But this is such an incredibly important story. You know, United States taxpayer dollars are being used to funnel children around the country into sex slavery. They're not going to their families. they're being used and abused and they're being killed. So please, 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 you know, share this story out, and it's really, really important. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. I do want to mention we have our VIP community. It's our Redacted Plus community. And if you just go to redacted.inc, you can support what we do here. We are independent journalists. We are not funded by Big Pharma. We are not funded by billionaires. We are supported by you and the few sponsors that we have here on the show. But we do have a Redacted Plus community, which gives you access to interviews, also behind the scenes content, our book club, as well as other things that you get to see before anyone else does. So we often release a lot of our interviews to our Redacted Plus community first, and exclusive interviews that people will never ever get to see unless you're a member of the community. So just go to redacted.inc, and if you want to, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support us and join our Redacted Plus community. So thank you guys so much for that. We will be back here tomorrow, same time, at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for subscribing to our channel here, and we'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.